I love it. Everybody, I love Family Service Sunday. I know some of you are like, man, the kids are in here and I'm distracted. That's okay, right? It's awesome. We're so glad that to have the whole family in here today. We are going to start. Maya wasn't able to be here today. So I am going to be talking a little bit to the kids. So if you're one of the kids in the room, why don't you come on up here for just a second and we'll go ahead and get started. Kids in the room, you can come up here. And we're going to be talking about one of Jesus's parables today. We've been going through parables on Wednesday night for our Bible study. And tonight we're going to talk about one of those. Again, we have done this. So if you come on Wednesday, you got a little precursor to it all. But we are going to be talking through it. You can open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. And that's where we're going to be at today. And this is a really, really famous parable, right? What's a parable? Anybody? What's a parable? It's a story with a lesson. That was an awesome, whoever said that. That was exactly right. A story with a point, a story with a lesson. That's what a parable is. Jesus is telling a story to help us understand something really important, all right? And he starts with saying, the kingdom of heaven is like. Okay, so you get a little window into seeing what the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, when he says that in the parables, he's not talking about heaven where like someday we're gonna go to heaven. He's talking about, he's going back to his Sermon on the Mount that you'll find in Matthew 5. And what he's saying is, this is how it should look if you're a follower of me still on earth, right? Like if you follow me while you're on earth, this is what my kingdom looks like. If you're a follower of me, if you're gonna follow Jesus, this is how it should look to follow me. And then he tells a story, right? And he tells a story about money, about people, right? And it's called the parable of talents. And does anybody know here, how many talents does he give the first one, the first person that gets it? How many does he get? You know? Ooh, that's another parable about money. You were on it. This is a little different one. It's half that. Five. Yep. All right. Awesome. And then the second one is what? Now no one's going to say anything. They're like, oh man, that kid talked. Right? We don't really study a lot. Huh? We don't really study a lot. You don't really study a lot? I think that's not true. I think you study a lot, just not, maybe not this, right? Right? So he gives one five, and he gives one two, and he gives another one one, okay? So I didn't do that. I didn't do it exactly like that, but here's how it would work like in today's money. Now this would be, he gave them a lot more money than I'm going to show you today, right? Like that equaled so much money that he gave them. But this is what?
10.
I'm not trying to trick you, right? Like this is what?
10.
And it's worth how many dollars?
$10.
$10, right? Because it's a 10, right? And this is what?
$5.
And it's worth how much?
$5,
right? So you can almost buy a gumball with this now, right? Like that's about how it goes. And this is worth what?
One.
And it's worth how much?
One.
And so how much, if you got to choose one of these, which one would you choose?
Ten.
The no takers for the one? No? You all want the, oh, you'll take the one? You're like, I'll take it. Because everybody else is going to fight for the 10, right? But why would you choose the 10? Why would you want the 10?
Because
it's worth the most, right? Like if you just got to choose one of them, of course you would choose that. And so one of the things that happens sometimes when we read this parable is we start thinking about one of the people that gets the most as worth the most. And is Jesus teaching that lesson that just because you have more of a talent, more money of those kinds of things, is Jesus trying to teach that that person is more important?
No.
He's absolutely not trying to teach that. And if he's trying to, at the one talent one, right? Like, is he trying to say that one is somehow less valuable than the one with more talents?
No.
No, that's not what he's saying. Jesus is not distributing things in this story. It's in the story. He's not talking about a story about the value of people. He's just talking about how much they can handle. And we're going to go through a bunch of different things in this. The other thing that I really want you to pay attention a little bit later when we read through this whole story, okay, is there is three servants, right? One is given five, one is given two, and one is given one. Okay, and two of them do what they're supposed to do. They go out and they do what they're supposed to do. And the other one, when he is confronted by not doing what he's supposed to do, you know what he does? He actually blames the person. And he says something that none of the other servants says. He's like, I knew you were harsh and I knew you were serious. And I know you've made money where you didn't put money. And so because of that, I went and did this. And one of the things I really want you to pay attention when we're talking about is he wasn't really describing the master. He was describing his own view of the master. And it's so important when we go through this, it's so important for you to know the master, right? You can hear about Jesus and read a Bible and you can think about all those things, but if we don't really know who he is, it causes us not to serve him the way that we should, right? Like, it's so important for us to really get to know who Jesus is. And so when we go through this story a little bit later, I want you to remember those things. It's not about who has the most value as a person, and we really, really need to get to know Jesus. All right, we got it? Everyone understand you're gonna listen for those things? I'm gonna ask you again later, you specifically. I'm just joking, I'm not gonna do that. All right, good? Good? All right, head back to your seats, you're awesome.
Love it, I love it. Hey, we are gonna play, I can just tell this morning, this is gonna be good because judging by the clapping this morning, I think we're gonna be on. We're gonna do a game, okay? And it's not just for the kids, okay? Everybody, we all get to participate. I am looking for four people. We're going to play a game called Reverse Charades. We've done this before, but what I need is four volunteers that could come up, and you're going to be the guessers, right? The rest of you are going to be the clue givers, okay? So the people up here, that you're the brave ones, the brave souls, okay? Dan's like, put your hand down, okay? All right, four people. We need one from each section. This is a team over here. You guys just became a team. Say, give it up, team. All right, yeah, there you go. You're a team. Do you want to? You can call yourself team one if you want. Team two, team three, team four. Yeah, get excited. Get excited. I like that. Team three. Yeah, Doug, come on. Four over here. Yeah, okay, they're not going to do so great over there on the end. We need one person, though. Okay, one person. All right, Aiden is the only one from that section. Just kidding. Aiden, okay, this section we need. Andrew, are you coming? All right, Andrew. All right, we need one person over here, team three. You guys were all excited just a second ago. Just excited. No? Doug, come on, Doug, come on. All right, team four, where are we at, team four? All right, Jazzy's in it. She's in it. She's the only one that volunteered from team four. All right, so, Jason, I'm going to need your help.
They were never very excited. They were all...
I'm going to need your help because there's going to be a word.
I got to get some Swedish fish out of my teeth.
Yeah, get that out of your teeth first. But you're going to have to help me to figure out who gets the answer first, okay? Because they're all going to be kind of yelling and screaming, so I'm going to need people to pay attention. So on the screen in just a second, Mandy's going to put a word. You guys do not look. Do not turn around and look at the screen. That's
Don't
cheating.
Cheat. You got to look out
okay?
that
That's
way.
That's cheating. The rest of you.
Cheater.
Okay?
Come
this
on.
Is where you got to. You should just stand up if you can right now. Get ready because we're going to be acting. We're going to be moving, okay? All right, your job is to describe what's on the screen to your guesser up here, okay? Without yelling words, okay? So you're going to act it out. Charades.
Act it out.
Charades. Act it out.
Come right, on, Caitlin.
We got to get ready, all right?
Down.
So get
stand
ready to
up.
Act. Now, if you guys, you certainly can watch your section, but if they're underperforming, you can look at a different section and go, okay, I see what they're doing over there, all right? And we're going to listen to see which one of you gets the right answer first. And we've got a bunch of them, all right? I like it. Yes, see? This team's got Joe's. Yeah, he's coming to represent. The ones that are running down here, I can tell this is going to be good. All right? Okay. First word. Mandy's going to play a little music because we got to get a little hyped. Maybe not. She might not. How about a word? Do we have our first word? Mandy. Okay, go.
Elephant.
Oh,
we got it over here.
Oh. He called it over here.
Over here.
All right.
Hey, listen, if you're guessing, it's going to help us if you yell the answers, right?
Right,
like,
so
if you're the guesser.
We're giving that to team one over here. Team one. All right.
Remember, no words out there. Right?
Okay, next word.
Oh, God.
He said it right here.
Oh, man. I don't know. That was...
I think it was Doug. We're going Doug.
That was close. That was
fast. Don't kill us. We're doing our best, okay? It's hard. All right. All right, that is team three. That's
team three.
Got
to yell your answers. Yep.
Team three is 1 point. All right. Team four, still nothing. Just a reminder. Okay. Are you ready? Next word. Next word.
Oh, here. That was fast.
Wow. Jason's just pointing over there. He's got a little bias to that side, I think.
That was fast.
Team
I don't
one.
Know.
Okay. All right. All right. All right. All right, next word.
Eating soup. Cereal.
Soup.
Spaghetti.
Oh, he said it over there. You guys, Andrew is on fire.
Man.
Andrew is on fire.
Team one is dominating. Dominating.
Oh, man. I did. I heard it that time, too. I heard it.
Okay. I will say there was a little vocal help from the benches this time.
Hey,
I heard some slurping out there.
You can't use words. You can't use words. Just actions, okay?
Sound.
Slurping is a sound. Okay. Yeah.
I'm not saying it was from their section.
Like,
I heard you do it, Joe. So.
All right. Next word. Team four. You guys alive over there? You ready? Okay. Here we go.
Oh, that was over there.
Yep, that's team three.
That was close, but that was over there.
All right, I've been giving team four some business. Team two is struggling as well at zero.
You know, if we were giving out a prize for second place, team two would be dominating.
Right,
you know,
right,
like they're always in second place.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Next word. Oh, I think that was team two.
I think it was team two.
Team two.
He said driving, but then he said driving a car. Yep.
Team two is on the board. On the board.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, where are we at? Okay, next word.
Sleeping.
Oh, man.
I think four. I think four finally got one. I think four. We just feel bad for four.
I feel bad for four. Yeah.
Four's
we'll give him a penny point. That was like a four-way tie.
That was fast. Good job, Jazzy.
Good job, Jazzy.
All right. Next word is coming.
Oh, here.
Andrew. You can just see it. It's coming. The words are coming, but not fast enough. All right.
Us, Jason.
Okay, we've got...
You gotta be
right,
first.
Lock in. Everybody's ready. Okay, all right, here we go. Next word.
Monkey.
Oh, man.
Aiden, for sure.
See, when you're first, you
team
get the point.
Team two making
That's
an appearance. Team two making an appearance. I like it. All right, I like it. All right, next word.
Bird.
Doug.
Over there.
Yes. Doug, team three.
That was fast.
Yeah. You guys want a score update? Score update? Team one, four. Team two, two. Team three, three. Team four, one. All right. Here we go.
Guitar.
Oh, man.
Ooh, I don't know.
I heard a chorus of voices
that time.
That was close.
All right, no points awarded. We're just going to say that. All right. Next word.
Picture.
Oh, here.
You said camera?
You said camera.
Camera was the word. Okay. How many we got left, Manny? Any idea? I don't know. I wasn't keeping track. We got eight? All right. Quit. We're doing pretty good. All right. Next word.
Oh, my gosh. Umbrella.
Yes. Oh. Umbrella.
Aiden, you really threw me when you said at the beginning.
Umbrella.
I was like, that's so fast.
Umbrella is the word. Umbrella. All right. Here we go. Next word.
Telephone.
Ooh, Doug. That was good. That was fast. Real fast.
He even said the telepart. Like, that was serious.
All right, team three.
Yeah.
That's team three. All right. Next word.
Oh, man.
Oh, that was Aiden. Yep. Do you guys feel like you're being heard right over there? Okay. Bowling. That was team two, right? Yeah. No, that was...
Yes, yeah. Team two.
Yes. Sorry. I'm sorry. All right, forgive me.
Calm down. We're going to get there.
Oh, man, they are intense. I love it. Next word.
I don't know, man.
Is it team one? Team one?
It was either team three or team two.
Oh, man, I've never seen so much anger and hostility out of a crowd. Team two? I'll give the three of you a point. All three of you got a point?
Okay.
It's hard, Joe. It's hard, okay? It's hard to tell. All right. Next word. Next word.
Lifting.
Yeah, but?
Deadlift.
This is kind of hard. We're looking for a specific.
Curling. Dumbbell.
Weights. Lifting is the second word.
Yeah, that's
Lifting is the second word.
Lifting. No.
What?
Don't.
Yes, heavy lifting. Heavy lifting. That was the word. Heavy lifting. Okay. All right. How many we got left, Mandy? Three words. Here we go.
You're good.
Next word.
Baseball.
Oh, man. He was here.
He said it.
That one was.
Oh,
that one was
just
clean.
Just pulled ahead, team two.
That
just
one was clean.
Pulled ahead.
Team two pulled ahead, man.
It's that enthusiasm in the front row here. I know it. All right. Next word.
Dancing.
It was Aiden again.
I didn't hear Doug. I can't.
It's close. Doug was close. They look at them. They're so mad. They're getting mad at me. I don't like this.
I know. I'm a little afraid to give them candy at the end. They're going to throw it at me. So.
All right. Here we go. Last word, right? Last word. It was that team right there. Yeah, team one?
I think it's one.
Team one.
I couldn't tell if Doug had said it first or not.
All right. We actually have a tie between team one and team two.
Oh.
And I don't have any more words.
That's unacceptable.
And I don't have any words. But
no.
Mandy can make a word.
Mandy can make a slide.
Just a little.
We can't end in a tie.
Don't worry.
That's the worst.
She's like, she got one word. One word. The rest of you did a great job. Don't worry. They're getting
old. We'll start
old.
Handing out your
they're
candy.
Getting old
but
candy.
The...
Don't worry. Okay. Do we get a word? All right, we got a word. It's coming. It's coming, I think.
Better not be hard.
Okay.
Pointing. Arrow. Oh, pastor.
Oh! Team two, good word. All right.
Good job, buddy.
Here's your prize. It's old.
Good job.
It's old candy, but it's good. I promise. I've been eating it every day in the back office, so take it around. Oh, you come and get it. Here, come and get it. Come and get your winning. You can take a handful. Thanks for participating. That's all I got, Jason.
All right. I forgot to mention earlier, too, when we were talking about announcements, we mentioned this last week. How many of you have done a Feed My Starving Children food pack with us before? You've done one of those? Okay. So I don't know, maybe half of the church. So Feed My Starving Children is an organization that partners with other organizations to send food all around the world, helps with nations in crisis. Like I know Convoy of Hope is already on the ground in Nepal after all this flooding, and they're helping distribute Feed My Starving Children food. Right? And so those kinds of things happen all the time, all around the world. And so Feed My Starving Children is an organization based out of the cities, actually. And the collective churches in town, the Pastor's Prayer Fellowship, are joining together again this December to do a mobile pack. We're going to pack food for that here in December. Okay, that's going to be the first weekend of December. I think it's the 4th and 5th of December that we're going to have the pack here. So you can start listening for that. We're not signing people up yet, but just heads up, that's coming. One of the things that's a part of that, though, is it's $30,000 for us to bring that in as a collective group, okay? And so the churches in town are all just taking an offering. You don't have to give, but I want to encourage you, if you can, this is a very valuable thing that meets very felt needs all around the world, right? This food sometimes just goes into certain areas where they just don't have enough, and so it's like a daily meal at schools. I know we've been in El Salvador, and several of the schools that we've been in the last couple of summers they are Convoy of Hope, Feed My Starving Children sponsored schools. So that is a meal that they get every single day at lunch from there. And then, like I said, it also goes to meet natural disasters all around the world. So this is a huge deal. It's coming up. We're going to take our offering for that in 2 weeks, okay? That is September 13th, and I just want you to be aware that that's coming, okay? Just be aware. Like I said, we don't take special offerings like this very often, but I want you to be aware that that is coming up. September 13th, we're going to take it. And I just, it's such a huge need around the world, food. I've been in schools. I was in El Salvador several years ago with a convoy trip, and they were talking about how they noticed the GPA went up on average 2 grades per kid as soon as they got food in there. Because it's hard to concentrate on school when all you can concentrate on is, am I going to be able to eat today? Right? And so, like, this is such an incredible thing. It's such an important way for us to be able to just be the hands and feet of Jesus into places where they need it. Like I said, right now, with the flooding in Nepal, there's just so many people displaced. And Convoy of Hope was in the next country. They didn't have a distribution center in Nepal, but they had one in the next country over. So the next day, they were already there with food, water, blankets, those kinds of things, ready to help meet felt needs. And so these are such valuable things. I want to encourage you, if you can't give, don't feel terrible about that. Sign up and come pack. It's an awesome time. You can come and pack. December 4th and 5th, like I said, is when that'll happen, and you can come and you can pack those bags. It's a good time, and it's an important thing, all right? So just be aware that's coming up, and I want you to know that that's coming soon. Matthew chapter 25 is where we're at. And I'm just going to read this whole parable real quick as we're kind of winding down our time here. And I want you to just really hear what Jesus is trying to teach again. And I want you to hear what Jesus is saying when he says the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or the kingdom of heaven can be like this, or this story is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like, he is not trying to teach you about the place called heaven that we are going to go someday. We mentioned that with the kids, right? Like, it's not about some place. It's about right here, right now. When Jesus started the Sermon on the Mount, he started teaching, my kingdom is going to look like this. Right? And so people wanted to make Jesus a king. They wanted to make him an earthly king. And he came to set up a spiritual realm, right? He came for the forgiveness of sins and all of those kinds of things. And so it becomes so important for that. So when you read the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by a story, you should pay attention, because this is how Jesus wants us to be. Okay, this is how he wants us to be. And so he says, again, the kingdom of heaven, verse 14 of Matthew 25, can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. Okay, the servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earn 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." I want to stop right there for just a second. This is where I was talking about. Sometimes people are like, "Oh, I wish I was a 5-talent person," or, "Oh, I wish I was a 2-talent person." Or, you know, like, sometimes 5-talent people don't want to be 5-talent people because it's a lot of responsibility. Sometimes people with only 2 or 1 talent look at a 5-talent person, they're like, "Man, what could I do for Jesus if I just had that?" And we start to compare ourselves to each other. But does Jesus compare these two to each other at all in this parable? What does he compare? He compares how they used what they were given. Was there any bigger celebration for the 5-talent person acting like a 5-talent person than for the 2-talent person acting like a 2-talent person? No, the words are literally exactly the same. And not only in English, if you go back to the Greek, there isn't a little extra mark on the page. It is exactly the same wording. Jesus is every bit as excited and proud of somebody with 2 talents using that for his glory as he is with 5 talents using for his glory. right? Like, it's not about looking at somebody else and comparing and contrasting who's got more or who does more or who's able to do this. The question Jesus is trying to teach is, in my kingdom, I have given something to everybody and I expect you to use it. And when you do, we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate. He keeps on going, though the story doesn't end there. Verse 24, then the servant with one bag of silver came and said, Master, this is what I was talking about with the kids. I want you to pay attention to this. Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant, gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back. But the master replies, you wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops and I didn't plant, or harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. Then he ordered, take the money from this servant, give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have in abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus didn't end on a high note, right? He ends on a hard lesson. But this is a story with a point. And I want you to understand, when he's talking about talents and he's talking about money, he's using money as an illustration. Does this story only mean money? Is this story only about how we use our money? No. Is how we use our money part of the story? Is it something we can read into this very easily and say, yeah, we should use our money for God's kingdom? Is that part of it? Yeah, I'm not going to take an offering at the end of the service. We already did our thing. Okay, like this isn't some pressure tactic or anything like that. But I think it's safe to assume when Jesus is talking about money, he means it could apply to our money. But I think it's really dangerous for us to assume that it's only about our money. Right? Jesus doesn't only want you to use your money for his kingdom. He has given you other things as well. When Jesus says this part about who has been faithful with us, they will have an abundance. Is he saying that if you just serve me well, you're going to be rich financially? No, that's not what he's saying. Again, the definition of the word blessing in the Bible is anything that brings you closer to God. Money is not inherently evil. You know, I mean, there's this misquoted scripture all the time that money's the root of all evil. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. When our whole life is pointed at more money, that can bring about all kinds of evil in our life. But is money inherently right or wrong? No, it's a tool. It's amoral, right? It's not immoral, amoral. Money doesn't have its own morality. How we use it is what matters, right? Like that's the lesson that Jesus teaches us about the Bible. Can you be rich and serve God? Yes. Can you be rich and be a miserable miser only concerned with yourself? Absolutely. Can you be poor and serve God? Yeah. Can you be poor and be a miserable miser that only thinks about himself? Yes. So it's not about how much money we have, right? It's about how we use what God has given us, right? Like this is the lesson of this. Jesus isn't saying that you're inherently gonna be wealthy if you use your money for my kingdom. But what he is teaching us here is in his kingdom, he has given everybody something. And he expects us to use that to build his kingdom, right? That's the story. Now, there was one person who had the least amount that was given to him, and he does absolutely nothing with it. And I think he could have easily made this point about the person with five as well. But what happens? That one person looks at the manager, looks at this person that went away for a while, right? This owner, this man who entrusts the money to the servants, and he's like, I knew you were harsh. And I know you've reaped where you haven't sown. What does that mean? What would that require? Theft? War? He looks at this person, he's like, you've reaped where you didn't sow. There's not a lot of ways you can do that. Right? There's not a lot of ways you can reap where you haven't sown. So this person looks at the master and he's like, I knew you were this person. And the master, even when he responds, he was like, you thought this about me and yet it didn't change what you did. He doesn't admit to doing that. Do you understand? The master doesn't say, I am this person. He says, this is how you viewed me and you still didn't. But can I tell you, your view of Jesus will 100% affect how you serve Jesus. It will absolutely affect how you serve him, how you view him. If you view God as Zeus, the old white man with a beard sitting up there waiting to smite you every time you screw up, is that gonna affect how you serve God? Absolutely. If you see God as wanting to throw a party every time you use what he's given to you, is that gonna affect how you see God and serve God? It absolutely changes the narrative in how we follow Jesus Christ. And that's why it is so important for us to actually know Jesus instead of just think we know him. Right? I've mentioned this before, and I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus when I tell this story, but the church that was primarily my home church when I grew up there, it's not this way anymore, but man, it was like straight up that holiness Pentecostal church of the 70s and 80s, right? Where like I was told by my Sunday school teacher, if Jesus comes back and you're telling a lie to your parents in that moment, you're gonna be left behind. My sisters were told that if they, I don't know where this comes from, it's certainly not in the Bible, but if they wore pants with buttons in them, they were going to hell. Like, I don't know what the buttons have to do with anything, you know, like it's not in like, you're not gonna find that in scripture. Like again, as soon as we start making up our own rules, things go off the rails real quick, right? Like that's what happens all the time. So I grew up with this idea of this harsh taskmaster of God that I had to do everything perfectly or I was going to hell. And I tried to do that for a little while, but I know this is gonna be a shock to some of you. Brace yourselves. I'm not a perfect person. Shocker. I know. I sin sometimes. Are you okay? We need to call any medics? Where is Joel here today? I sin sometimes. I struggle. I have doubts. I have questions. I don't understand everything. Things have happened to me that weren't awesome. And things have happened because I was dumb and made bad choices. And in all of those things, when God is a harsh taskmaster that demands perfection, it led me to believe I don't belong and I'll never be good enough. How we view God affects how we serve God. But can I tell you that harsh taskmaster God that really can't stand me, but for some reason died for me, that's not the God of the Bible. That's not who Jesus is. This servant's misconception and misunderstanding of who the master was caused them to miss out on all the blessings the master wanted to pour on his life. So church, we need to get to know God. How do we do that? The best way is to spend time in his word. The best way to get to know God is to spend time in his word. Amen. To pick it up, to read it, to understand it, to see who he is. Because this is how we get to know him. This is how we get to know Jesus. It's so important for us to have an accurate thing because there are consequences to not serving God. He shows us that in this story as well. But what I want to encourage you with today, as we go into this time, it's the school year is almost here. And I know like the kids are like, ugh, and the parents are like, yes. But you don't really say that to your kids. It's okay to feel that way. I know it's out there. kids are like, Dad, do you really feel that way? Oh, no, Pastor really put me on the spot right now. School's coming, which is how most of us mark our year, even if you don't still have kids in school. Most of us, this is really the beginning of a new year, right? Like January 1st is one thing, but like school starting, that's a real deal. It's just a lot of how things go, how people build their mind. Can I ask you two simple questions, okay? Here's what I would like you to take from this story today, this lesson that Jesus taught us through story form. What's one thing that's too important to me that's keeping me from following God the way I should? If you're a note taker, write it down. If you're not a note taker, write it down. Put it in your phone. Do whatever you need to do. What's one thing in my life right now that's too important to me, and it's keeping me from focusing on better things? Can I tell you a really just silly thing that I had to do a couple months ago? Actually, about a month ago now. I played this game on my phone. You agreed? Yep, you like games on your phone? Is a game on your phone inherently bad? No, it's fine. How about a game on your phone that requires you to be on 3 times a day at specific times so you meet the right goals? And for some stupid reason, you start playing this game for fun, and then it starts to own your calendar. Right? It's so simple. It's so dumb. It's just a little mindless thing. And my wife was like, man, I hate your phone. And I heard that almost every day for like 4 months. And she was right to say it, because I, like, all of a sudden, right at 6 o'clock, you've got to be on and win this battle at 6 o'clock to get your rewards. And it turned into this thing where I was like, I didn't want to miss the reward, so like, we need to wait to eat dinner for another 10 minutes. She should have hated my phone. It was dumb. You could play that exact same game and not be stupid about it. But apparently I can't. So what did I have to do? I deleted it off my phone. And can I tell you what? It was weird. Like the first day to not have to go to the bathroom at that time so I could do what I needed to do. You know what I'm talking about. It was so dumb. It was this little thing, but it had become too important to me. Could I have gone to heaven still doing what I was doing? Absolutely. But it was distracting me from doing things that were more valuable. What's one thing in your life that's too important? And it's keeping you from doing what God wants you to do. One of those things for me was a stupid video game. And I just had to delete it. And I'm better for it. I'm better for it. And the other thing, here's the other one. What's one thing I want to do for Jesus this year? What's one thing I feel like he's asking me to do? What's one thing I just want to accomplish for Jesus this year? Can I tell you, statistics tell us a written goal is more than 60% more likely to be fulfilled than one that's just in our mind. More than 60%. And a spoken goal is more than 85% more likely to be fulfilled than a goal that's just in your head. So here's what I'd love to see you do. Jesus is not asking, if you're a 5-talent person, Jesus is asking a 5-talent effort. If you're a 2-talent person, Jesus is asking for a 2-talent effort. It's all we got. In both ways, it's all we have. He's asking for us to give what he's given back to us, right? If you're a 1-talent person, Jesus doesn't expect you to be a 5-talent person. He expects you to be the best 1-talent person that he made you to be. And can I tell you, this church, this country, most of our world has been built on the backs of 1-talent people. It is not something to be ashamed of. It's not. Be all that God made you to be. Can I tell you the most frustrating people to pastor are not one talent people? It's five talent people who only want to be one talent people. You can let that sink in and think about yourself however you want right there. What's one thing I'm doing that is too important to me right now? And what's one thing I want to do for Jesus this year? Church, can I tell you, in God's kingdom, it will look like this. People, God wants to celebrate you, not for the accomplishments of your neighbor, not by the standards of your neighbor, but he created you. And he created you on purpose, and he created you with significance, and he created you with a job to do. And he wants you to do it with your whole heart. God, you're good. I thank you for this time. I thank you for this day. And I just ask, Jesus, that you lead us and you guide us. Help us to live our lives in the way you would have us live. It is in your name I pray. Amen. Listen, I want to just encourage you, step out for Jesus this year, right? Do something for him. It is such an important thing. There's a couple of things as we go that I want you to be aware of. First of all is, if you've been sitting in this room and you've been hearing me talk about Jesus and you've been hearing us, you saw communion and you're going through this and you're just like, I need to know more about this Jesus. Talk to the person that invited you. If nobody invited you, or if the person that invited you doesn't know any more than you do, come and talk to me. I'd love to have a conversation with you about this Jesus. Can I just tell you that choosing him is the best decision you will ever make in your entire life? It is the only eternal decision you will make that way, is to follow Jesus, right? And then to do what he asks us to do. That those decisions have eternal significance. And the other thing is a lot lighter and simpler than that. It's Family Service Day, and it's like one of the last Sundays of summer. So there's a root beer float out there with your name on it. Go get one. Have an awesome Sunday, everyone.